going to go over to Revelation chapter 22, last book in the New Testament, last chapter too. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. And while you're turning there, if you are, we'll put this bit of advertisement out. If you have a question you would like to have answered concerning anything in the Bible, theology, or anything to do with religion of just about any branch, write it on a piece of paper and let me know, because Sunday nights, that's what we do, is answer questions. The only question that's foolish is the one that's never asked. So there's nothing too trivial. Anybody that's been here on Sunday nights know it. There's nothing too trivial that we won't try to talk about and cover and see what the Bible has to say on the subject. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. That's pretty tough words right there. You see, there are four times in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, 32, Proverbs 30, verse 6, and Psalm 119, verse 160. Four times in the Old Testament says, do not change the word of God. Do not alter God's word. And one time, the very last book of the book of Revelation, is the statement that I just read. All of them say don't do this. The one I read earlier in Proverbs says about you'll be made out a liar and you'll look foolish. But all the rest of them come with this idea. Do not tamper with the word of God. In Revelation, it's the last time you're warned. And it's got the strongest warning of all. Don't mess with God's word. Don't even think about it, because if you do, the plagues that are in this book will be added to you. And if you take away from it, your name will be taken away and you won't have access to the tree of life, and on and on and on. Just what I read. And like what I've said before, if God wants you to know something, He tells you once. If He wants to get your, emphasize it, He'll say it twice. Four times in the Scripture, we have God saying, do not mess with my word. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. He doesn't want it tampered with. So don't mess with my word. Four times, more than emphasis, He's like emphatically saying, don't do it. Don't mess with it. But this day and age in which we live, people are much more enlightened, so they say, and they are starting to try to change the Word of God. Now, I know where most people is going to go with this, but we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Now, don't just jump on one part of this. I want you to pay attention to everything that's listed here, starting at verse 9 through verse 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of God. There are people now who are saying, wait a minute, this is an old list. I was reading a posting about this yesterday, and one of them says, why do you Christians listen to this old book written by anonymous people that was probably written decades, if not centuries, after the time of Christ? Well, one, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about, because they even have a portion of Mark, and they have dated it to within 10 years of Christ's crucifixion. Granted, it's not a very big piece, but they have this piece of the book of Mark within 10 years. Most of them was written within a couple of decades, and it was done by the apostles. So it's not a book of anonymous people. They say, well, now, and going through this whole list, you can just pay attention to all of it. They're saying, kick that all aside. I'm okay. You're okay. God is a God of love. And they choose to listen to the love chapter, which is also in 1 Corinthians. Love never fails. Love never judges. And I do the weddings and I read them, but I'm glad it's written out. is not jealous and does not act unbecoming, and they talk all this stuff. Well, they claim that, oh yeah, that's divinely inspired, but then they kick the rest of this Corinthians out that I had just read to you in 1 Corinthians also. They kick that out and say, well, that list is immaterial. We're living in more modern times. Well, then why is 13 applicable to modern times? And the first chapter, 6th chapter, is not applicable to modern times. They don't understand that Christianity is not a buffet where you walk around and you pick and choose the things you like and act upon the things you like. It is a complete unit. Do not alter the Word of God. Take it as a complete unit. We're told to study this Word of God so we can rightly divide it. Granted, we're not going to get it perfect because there's so much written there and so much prophecy given, but it's all there and we're to be doing our best not to do away with it. Some of them say, well, this doesn't apply. Jesus Himself does not address these subjects. Therefore, it does not apply to us because Jesus did not address these subjects. Jesus did address these subjects, and He did it this way. Without making a laundry list of everything, He did a sweep with it, and He said, all these things, the Word of God, shall not pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle, which is the equivalent of saying, not one dot of an I, not one cross of a T, will pass away until all things be fulfilled. Granted, He did fulfill all the law. And we people who have sought shelter under His sacrifice, because He did become the perfect sacrifice, we who seek shelter under that perfect sacrifice are saved, are sanctified, are born again, are cleansed of our sins. But those who have not sought that sacrifice, they are still standing out there saying, we will accept it. We don't believe this applies to us. But not one jot or tittle. And that includes everything in the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the way through. He claimed it all. This is all the Word of God, and it stands firm. It will be fulfilled because I will perfectly fulfill that law. And even then, it will stand firm to condemn those people who do not accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. People are trying to push it away. People are trying to drive a wedge in to the church, into what's going on in our lives and in our private lives as believers in Christianity. There are several denominations in America who are suffering the consequences because they have not held fast to the gospel, to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to pick on one because, as you all know, in times past, I used to pastor a Methodist church, a United Methodist church. No, I wasn't United Methodist. I was asked to fill a pulpit, which I did. I was there about 15 years. So I kind of am interested in the goings-on of that church and denomination and what happens. Now, if you read some of the United Methodist Church, from here on out will be referred to as the UMC, if you read some of their literature, they will go on and say, we are doing great. The United Methodist, the UMC is growing in numbers. What they're doing is padding the numbers of their denomination. When they make that claim that they are growing, they are taking the United States UMC, they are adding the Philippines UMC, and the African Church of the UMC. They are considered all one group, one denomination. And so Africa is growing in leaps and bounds. The Philippines, their church, is growing in leaps and bounds. But you take away the Philippines and you take away Africa and you subtract that number, the United States UMC Church, in just the year 2011, and that's the last number I could find, that year they lost 72,000 members. 72,000 members. They have been losing membership ever since 1964, and they're down about 4.5 million people. And I was reading the umcpage.org, and one guy said, basically, let's get real, the United Church, the UMC, has actually dropped by 42%. They are down. They are losing grounds. And he says, if something doesn't happen, we will probably lose out as a denomination within a few decades. Back in 1964, all the way up to present, they've been doing some really odd things. They have bishops who are ordained bishops who say that Jesus is not the Christ. He is not God. He is not the Son of God. He is not divine. He is not a perfect sacrifice. Some of them say He didn't even die on the cross. Others say, well, He looked like He died, but He ended up running off with Mary Magdalene and had a kid up in France. They just deny everything about Jesus Christ. They don't even believe He was virgin born, if I didn't mention that. And they also have opened the doors up and said, everybody's welcome, and they're welcome to come into that particular group without repentance. And yet, we are told that we need to repent of our sins, metanoia. Change our minds about the things we've done. We're not to be fooled by arguments of sophistry, if that's the fancy word for people who can slick talk you into. But you know, there's people that just got that gift of gab and they can convince you of anything. And he says, don't get suckered in by these people. The Word of God's the Word of God, and it stands immutable, and God has given it to us, and it will stand forever just as it is. And that's the yardstick he's going to use to judge the people, to judge the angels by, and all the created beings. He will judge them by that, and anyone who has taken refuge in Christ has had their sins washed away and blotted out because you have meta, change, noia, your mind, metanoia, Greek, you've changed your mind. You've looked at the things you've done in your past and you've said, this is wrong. Now, just because you repent doesn't mean you're going to be perfect after that point, but at least you have recognized the things that you have done in your past have been wrong, and you acknowledge it, and you ask for the perfect forgiveness of Jesus Christ. They are opening the doors and they're saying, you do not need to metanoia. You do not need to change your mind, nor do you need to repent. You're okay. I'm okay. We've got modern science to explain away all of our faults, and therefore we should not condemn each other or anyone else, because if we say, that's not right, we're liable to hurt their little ego. Instead, we need to say, oh, it's all right. You just come in through our doors and everything will be okay. Now, it's not just the UMC. The Presbyterian Church, United States of America, there's different Presbyterian churches, but the Presbyterian Church, USA, in the year 2000, has fallen below 2 million members. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's dropping like a rock too. And they have recently taken some votes in their denominations, probably going to split up into different groups because of the stands they have taken on the idea of what sin is and what they're going to permit. The UMC is actually propping itself up. It's losing so much money, they are closing churches and chapels, and they're selling the property to get the money to keep their organization afloat. Now, I'm telling you all that because I don't want us to make those same kind of mistakes. The churches that are turning their back upon God and His Word are just now starting to suffer. And the sad thing is, the news media and the other organizations out there that it's promoting this kind of stuff are still calling these groups, even though their numbers are diminishing drastically, are still saying, these are the mainline churches. And we need to follow the mainline churches. Even as those churches are emptying out, and people and entire congregations are walking away from Him saying, you have turned your back on the Word of God. They're still being held up as the example that all America should follow. But we know better. We know that this is not the Word of God, and what they're promoting, God will not stand for. Let me read to you, if I can find it, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, 11 through 19. Jeremiah 6, 11 through 19. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children in the street and on the gathering of young men together. For both the husbands and the wives shall be taken, the aged and the very old. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time, I will punish them. I will cast them down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it. The reason I read that is God saying, I've had enough with these people who are changing my word. My word is inalterable. I have been teaching and teaching and teaching for hundreds and thousands of years what my truth is, and now they are claiming to reject it and to know more than I am. They are dealing with the people out there falsely. Do not go and follow after these people, but instead go out and seek the ancient paths. Go out and seek the ancient way, which is the way of the Lord. And follow after that, and you will be blessed. Follow after that, and we will be blessed because we're walking in the way of the Lord, which is ancient. The reason I'm saying that is, most of you, I don't know if you know this or not, but on April the 28th of this month, actually this week, the Supreme Court's going to hear oral arguments. And it's the oral arguments are whether to sanction and push through the idea of gay marriage. One of them has already said, already there's movement at the state level to revoke nonprofit status for religious organizations. That's us. If we do not agree with everything that they are pushing, that all this stuff that the Bible says, this is sin, if we do not agree with what they're pushing and change our standards, they will revoke our nonprofit status. That's not really a big deal. That just means, well, the money we take in, we'd have to pay taxes on it. But the way that's going to work is when you are no longer a nonprofit organization, that shoves you into the position of being a corporation, and every corporation then comes under laws such as hiring issues and the idea that you cannot discriminate against certain groups or people of hiring, and you will have to follow those hiring standards, or they can come in and shut you down. And that's what they're going for. They are wanting to force us to quit preaching the gospel, the good news, and the law of God. The law of God's there, and it's chiseled in stone. The grace of Jesus Christ is there, and He fulfilled that law, and He says, you can have your sins washed away. And those lists, remember that I read you, that list that I read you, He said, and such were some of you, to the Corinthians. He's saying, all the things that I've said, such were some of you. But you have been born again, you've been saved, you've been sanctified. You've had your sins washed away, and you're going to make it into heaven because you have metanoia. You've changed your mind about the things that you were doing in the past. The reason I'm saying this is we're getting at the place where we need to stop and think, where is our personal line in the sand? What are the things, what are the ideas and ideals that we're going to say, this is a foundation point of my life, this is a foundation point of this group, and we will not permit the crossing of that line. We will not be shoved over that line. We will take a stand and say, that's it, we will not do it. One article said, Christians in America had better get used to the idea of being a first century Christian and being persecuted and losing property, because they are not only just now starting to revile us with certain laws that can be brought into play, they can actually criminalize us because of what we believe. There are certain scriptures that we will not be able to read. Now they're going to say, oh no, we're not going to do that. But in 1964, when this all started, they were saying all these things also. Oh no, we wouldn't go there. We wouldn't go. But as the old saying, like a camel with its nose starting under the tent, it just keeps worming its way in and in until you've got the camel sitting inside your tent and there's no room for it. We need to stop and think about it, because the time is now coming. And we're going to have to say, this is it. We will not cross this line. In America, can you believe in our lifetime, we're going to be set, that I am standing up here saying it? But I will also say this, if we hold the truths of Jesus Christ, we might be in a position of suffering for it, of being shamed. You know, people going, shame on you, shame on you. If we will hold to those truths no matter what, write this down someplace. If we will hold to those truths, those ancient ways, if Jesus Christ tarries, there will come a day when the children of these people, either their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren, are going to shake their heads and say, what in the world was my grandparents and great-grandparents thinking when they permitted this to happen? And they're going to go out and look for the old ways, the things that were tried and true and proven absolutely beneficial to all mankind. And I hope that Glenwood Church and the people of Glenwood and the individuals that are here today will still be holding to the old path, unaltered Word of God, standing on it and saying, kids, we can tell you the truth about Jesus Christ. We can tell you the truth about what sin is. We know because we were those people. But our sins have been washed away. We know that because we have experienced it. And if you don't like the way your life is going, come here and sit down and I will tell you about a Savior who can wash away your sins. But we need to sit down first and say, here is our foundation. Here is the points that we will not negotiate on. No matter what it costs, I will not be budged off of these points. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that starting now and through the near future that you keep us informed about what's going on, but cause us to reflect in our lives so we will seek out the old ways and build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because one of these days it's going to get really bad and houses are going to be collapsing that people have built. Help us to be a church and to be individuals. Even though the times get bad, our buildings will still be standing and we'll still be pointing the way to Jesus Christ, and people will start coming in wanting to know the truth. And help us to lead them in their mind change that they're going to be seeking, that they'll find Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Now, before we go, I want to tell you a story of why this all got brought up. I was reading about a rabbi who passed away, who has since passed away. And he was teaching the do not change the Word of God, and here's what sin is, what we read in our Old Testament. He was teaching this and saying, this is the Word of God. And he got put out of the synagogues that he was associated with, and they was basically saying this, you need to come into the modern times. You need to give up those old-fashioned ways and start walking in the enlightenment that we have, the ways of truth. And he said, I won't budge. Now, there was a few people got together and they said, this isn't right. So they started a synagogue, which is the equivalent of a church. They started a synagogue and they hired this man. And he was their rabbi. And he led them and taught them. And now as time went on, his congregation has grown. It's very solid. And the people that put him out of their synagogues has gone flat and closed their doors, because those people had nothing to offer their children or their grandchildren. They basically said, you're all right. You don't need God. You don't need this synagogue even. And they packed up and left. But people are going to this man's synagogue because he had something to offer them that they could build their life on. And they said, we want that. We want something solid in our life. And that man's synagogue was established and it's still going. We need to be like that. Established, thoroughly understanding, thoroughly grounded, and then take that stand and be like him. They can throw us out of the synagogues, they can throw us out of the churches, but we will not alter, and God will honor us.